The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Wayne Lewandowski, Vice President of U.S. Federal Sales and Special Programs, VorMetric. Good afternoon, Wayne. How are you?
Well, John, how are you?
I'm great. No snow to shovel. We got cherry blossoms, so it's a great place to be. Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Absolutely. Beautiful weather.
Well, you know, you pick up the newspaper, you read about the cherry blossoms, and you read about encryption. You know, it used to be no one talked about encryption. You know, back in 1991, I was writing for the Washington Post. I wrote about this character named Phil Zimmerman and pretty good privacy, and no one cared. I took all these little security tests, and I had to learn about AES this, and no one cared about that. All of a sudden, you pick up the newspaper, and you find Apple's on the front page talking about encryption. Suddenly, Wayne, you're suddenly stylish, aren't you?
Absolutely.
So that's why I brought Wayne in today. Talk about encryption, talk about the federal government, talk about data at rest, and maybe talk about a recent survey that VorMetric has put together to help my listeners understand this concept of encryption and maybe managing security for the federal government. Before we begin, Wayne, can you tell us about your background, please?
Sure, John. I've been in IT technology sales or sales leadership for nearly 30 years now. At my current role, I run the federal program here at VorMetric. Prior to that, I ran a consulting practice for a small service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. Outside of that, As I said, I've been in IT really my entire career, some large organizations as well, such as Computer Associates, SAS Institute, and VMware.
Well, let's talk about the problem and talk about this survey, so maybe paint the picture and put it in perspective.
Sure. Well, this is the fourth year that we've done the survey. There was over 1,000 respondents globally in this year's survey. And what we did is made a slight pivot and also decided to have a focus on the federal market itself. This year's survey, this is the first for the federal focused one, and we had over 100 respondents in the federal market that participated.
So if you're listening to this online and the Washington Nationals are in the World Series, you can type in 2016 VorMetric VorMetric Data Threat Report. That's the one to look for, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Send a survey to 100 different security officers in the federal government. Mm-hmm. What'd you find?
Well, I found some interesting trends. And first, John, let me clarify. Our report's a little different than others that are out there. There are some great reports that talk about the breaches and statistics of exfiltration. That's not what the VorMetric report was about. This was really about the perceptions that security leadership has in the marketplace, where they see the rates of failures, where they expect to make investments, and just their overall outlook on the market. And when we went through that, came up with a lot of surprising statistics, which I'm sure we'll go into, and really, what is their vision for security, data security in this case in particular, and how that's going to affect some of their enterprise plans, such as cloud, big data, and the Internet of Things.
You know, I've interviewed dozens of federal cybersecurity professionals, and I go to events and talk to people all the time. These are really serious people. These are really people who think their mission is to protect the federal government, and they're part of the federal government, and they're serious about this. And so I think what many of these cybersecurity professionals get so focused on their task at hand, they get in a mental silo, and they can't see what other parallel people are doing different agencies. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the biggest strengths of this survey is that, oh, so that's what they're doing over at Commerce. Oh, what they're doing, you know, in the Pentagon or something. So it really opens up different avenues of perspectives, doesn't it?
Oh, that's very true. As a matter of fact, I had a potential customer of ours talk to me at a show recently that said, in the last couple of years, when our report has come out, he's used this as a justification for increasing spend around data security in particular. So
wow.
I do see that folks are very appreciative of the content that we're providing.
So the name of your company is VorMetric. I know the V is kind of difficult on radio, so I like to say V is in victory. So VorMetric.com.
Yes.
How long have you folks been in business?
A little over 12 years, John, and we were a private company up until last week. We officially announced that we were acquired by Talos, which is a global organization of about 61,000 employees. we're going to be part of a specific business called Talos eSecurity that focuses on things such as what Vormetric brings to the market.
Could you spell that for us? T-A-L-U-S, is that what it is?
It's T-H-A-L-E-S.
Oh, great, great. But in and of yourself, I mean, you folks got like 1,000 employees. You're in 17 of the Fortune 25. I mean, you're no small entity in and of yourself, are you?
We're a decent-sized company, and we've had some significant growth in the 3.5 years that I've been here. We've had incredible double-digit growth, quarter over quarter, year over year. So it's been a good time, as you said, to be in data security.
So if you do some research on Vormetric, you find out that they focus in on database security, file security, encryption, key management, and application encryption. Those kind of the four pillars of the company?
They are, John. Yes. It's really, we make a distinct differentiation of what we do over other areas of security. We're not about the desktop. We're about the true critical assets that run the government or commercial enterprises. The large scale data that is moving the direction of an agency or a mission.
You know, when I think of agencies and missions, I just flashed on OMB. And we're coming up on the birthday, as they say, of the event that happened sometime last year that maybe will live in infamy. But this has really precipitated a lot of people probably giving you a call and saying, hey, Wayne, come on down. We want to talk to you a little bit about this encryption.
It is not hard to get an appointment, John.
That's good. You know, my background mostly is in commercial encryption and with some open source products. Mm-hmm. But I think there's all kinds of gaps and problems in the whole idea of encryption. I think it has to be approached from a tactical perspective and probably from a strategic perspective. And I think that's where Vormetric places itself in both of those camps.
That's true. Well, we can meet some short-term goals as well as create an enterprise strategy that extends beyond their current plans and well into the future. And I think that's the realization that a lot of folks are coming to.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to have timely and accurate information about a security issue or an event, and it's another thing to try to have a strategy to remediate that problem in the future. So there's two things kind of push and pull each other.
Absolutely. And you can even think about that in terms of just general physical security. It's one thing to monitor and be aware that something happened, and there's something completely different to defend and protect that which that adversary is after. And we're in that latter category.
That's great. Let's go back to this survey that you, it was but just a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? Was it in March, I think, huh?
That's correct.
Great, great, great. So number one, what are the results that surprised you from the survey?
There were a couple of things, maybe some surprises and some that were as expected. Number one, and how our respondents found it as probably the biggest barrier was complexity. 51% of the respondents said that this was the major issue that they saw in moving forward with things such as data security. Second, 44% found that implementing data at rest solutions were going to be difficult because of staffing issues. And then the one that maybe not as surprising, but I think the percentage of respondents that felt that lack of budget was a concern, 43%, was quite a bit more significant than other markets. That same concern of lack of budget in financial services, for example, was only 23%.
Interesting, interesting. Do you agree? I mean, that's the first question. I mean, some people say, well, no, it's really not a budgetary issue. It's a matter of applying funds properly. And some will say, no, we just can't hire folks that can do this. Where do you prioritize these things?
Now, that's a good point. I think that there are some misnomers out there. I think that a lot of folks, kind of like yourself, have backgrounds that go back to other types of encryption strategies, for example, public key infrastructure. Most folks that have been involved in those types of projects have found that they are extended way beyond any projection as far as an implementation time. We're looking at 1-2 years or maybe even longer. And we never really get to an end state that provided the benefits that they expected. Where data security, it integrates with existing security structures such as your Active Directory and LDAP environments. So the ability to set it and forget it is much, much more likely. Our typical implementations run in literally a matter of days. And I think that surprises a lot of folks when they see that proved out in their environment as well.
Days, not weeks. That's interesting. Let's take a little break. Come back. We're talking about a survey that Vormetric had commissioned looking at security professionals in the federal government. And it talks about encryption and data at rest and comes up with some interesting findings, some results that may surprise you as well, and more results that surprise you after the break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Wayne Lewandowski, Vice President, U.S. Federal Sales and Special Programs, VorMetric. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Wayne Lewandowski. He's Vice President, Federal Sales and Special Programs at VorMetric, V-O-R-M-E-T-R-I-C. It's tough on the radio because that V is tough. So it's V as in victory, V-O-R-M-E-T-R-I-C.com for more information. Based in California, and all kinds of products for helping you manage your cybersecurity profile from a federal government perspective. We took a break and talked about that survey. Tell me some other findings that surprised you about this survey you commissioned.
Sure, John. As we talked about earlier, you know, some of the barriers were minimal staff that had the expertise to manage data resolutions and the complexity. And I think this has resulted in where the spend is really occurring. Over 80% are investing in network and perimeter defenses to combat data breaches. And this is clearly a misnomer that this is going to assist in that. The good news is, though, that over 37% of the respondents did say they are spending more money on data at rest security solutions. So that was a positive sign.
What is the percentage from the survey of the federal government information stored in the cloud? Is there a rough number out there? Is half, two-thirds? I mean, what's the number out there?
No, I don't think it's that much. I think what we're seeing is that every agency has some type of objective of going to the cloud. And how they're getting there differs pretty significantly between civilian, defense, and the intelligence community. As an example, what I find is a good way to dip the toe in the waters of the cloud is by using it as really a backup and an archive. You find a lot of folks, their first entree is not necessarily infrastructure as a service, but using software as a service and things such as Amazon S3.
I own a little house and I have a security system in it. And if the security system goes off, there's a bad guy in the house.
Right.
I think a lot of federal cybersecurity professionals are assuming someone's inside already, assuming they broke through the perimeter. And so they have to protect the assets that are there. So that's where you have your documents encrypted and safe in your house, I guess. So the first line may be the perimeter, but when someone's in the house, you think that's true? You think the bad guys are in and sniffing around looking for things and you have to encrypt the stuff that's sitting there in your system, in your house?
Absolutely. I think the realization, and especially the last year, there's constantly validation in the marketplace about this, that the adversaries, the bad actors, are in the network already. And in many cases, and this goes to some of the breach reports that are out there, you'll see surveys that say it's taking as long as 3/4 of a year before those bad actors are identified. And they can be mucking around in your network for as long as several years. So absolutely.
So bad guys in your basement for 6 months?
Right. I know. Not a good thing, right?
not a real good thing to have. You know, one interesting aspect of this survey, I think, is the little phrase, compliance is not security. And that's a real nice thing to say. It sounds kind of exalted and everything else, but I'll give you a story. I once owned a Mercedes-Benz with 200,000 miles on it. It was a diesel motor. It was a fantastic car. And one day, the gas gauge broke. And I was driving around, and I stopped. And I said, well, my gas gauge is working because it says I'm on full. And so the mechanic looked at me and said, you're out of your mind. He reached down, and he tapped, and he said, you're out of gas. I said, no, it can't happen because of my gas gauge. So the lesson here is that I was compliant. I had air in the tires. I had my safety belt. I had inspection. I had a gas gauge. I was full. So I was going to drive downtown, right? Well, compliance does not mean security, I guess. And so this is a problem I think a lot of cybersecurity professionals have. They go through that checklist, but the car's stuck.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Compliance is certainly a good step. And I think we've seen the government in the last year take some movement in that direction. Things such as the cyber sprint is that you got to have good hygiene in your environment. You have to educate your users on what a potential phishing attack and malware, how that gets introduced to the environment. So education is part of that process. That being said, even the most vigilant organizations still have exploits in their network. You have to go beyond just assuming you're going to be able to take the exploit out of the environment. Monitoring it is not going to be sufficient. You have to protect what that adversary is after. And that's where VorMetric comes in.
If you read FedBizOps, and maybe the gubbies don't read it, but all the providers who listen to the show do, and you find out that the DOD has got this as a concern, and what they're looking for is they're looking for people to show up this summer of 2016 and give them short technical presentations on a wide range of issues that involve cybersecurity. These include situational awareness, IoT security, and data loss prevention. Isn't that a coincidence?
I know. That's good news.
It's good news for you. I hope you can and talk to them. So what I like about Vormetric is they put together events with a very select group of people to kind of share information and maybe share information about this this survey. So tell us about any recent events you've had and what kind of information came out of these events.
In the last couple of weeks, John, we did have a panel discussion in kind of an open forum with several government executives. We had representation across all three major sectors, some former intelligence community members, folks from the DOD, as well as civilian agencies. And it was an open forum that started off as a panel discussion. And we really got into, I think, some of the root causes of where we are as a government right now. And a couple things came out, and I think it aligned very well with the survey itself, is that compliance standards are driving the government, much like the commercial market. But even there, the folks were, I think, pretty candid at stating that having good cyber hygiene and doing a lot of these things on the front end is not sufficient. This does not protect the target that the bad guys are after. There's also some concerns around the federal contracting process, things like you just mentioned with the DOD creating kind of an open forum. These are critically important because I think that the emerging markets that are addressing some of these concerns are not being viewed properly by the federal government. The contracting process is sort of steeped in its old ways. And when you fall back on what you know now, is not necessarily going to be sufficient in moving forward in a protection type of profile.
It's almost like a military history where generals prepare for the previous war.
Well,
it's
exactly.
Like, well, hey, we got a firewall and we're, you know, our endpoints are all secure. And by the way, we're all patched up and we have, wait a minute. That's the last war. That's not assuming the bad guy's in the basement for 6 months.
Absolutely. The weaponry is advanced and you have to do the same thing on your side.
There's a classic book in military history, by the way, called Guns of August, written by Barbara Tuchman. And she talks about the generals in World War I preparing for the War of 1870. And it just happens with humans time and time again. And I think there has to be some kind of disruption where people shake them up and they go, oh, so this guy's sitting over in an embassy in England and he's releasing data that's sensitive. I mean, what's going on here? Maybe that, some kind of a shock or disruption will force people to think more about encrypting data at rest.
No question. I mean, you can look at some of the more notable breaches that are out there. I mean, Target being one of the more high-profile ones on the commercial side, Target was compliant, but they were still breached. They had a supply chain that involved a third-party supplier that created the hole into their environment. So you have to look at these things from really a 360-degree view.
Is it fair to compare commercial security with federal security?
A lot of ways, I think, yes. I mean, the environments are similar in a lot of ways. You have third parties that have some limited or full access to the environment. You have the current implementations of the cloud, large sweeping enterprise decisions such as virtual desktop and big data. These are concerns that both commercial and federal have, and how to address that broader view of the environment has to be looked at from a data security perspective as well.
So you did a survey, and then you had an event, and the survey gave you some specific findings. Then you had an event with, let's say, a dozen security professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Complete different conclusions, similar conclusions, any overlap?
A lot of overlap. The requirement to meet compliance was matching what we found in the respondents of our survey. Found that the complexity issue that was a big concern by 51% of our respondents, That was viewed as well, similarly with the folks in our discussion. And I would say that also just the concerns about expertise in this market in particular. There's not a lot known in the market yet about how to address data security. And I think companies like us are breaking new ground. Even though we've been around for quite some time, this is still a fairly new and evolving technology from a mindset for most of our federal decision makers.
And that's why we have the Pentagon, as I mentioned earlier, putting up announcements saying, hey, our doors are open for anybody, anywhere wants to come in and show us ways that we can learn this. Because, it, you know, you don't have 20 years experience in current malicious exploits, do you? Mm-hmm. You have, what, 10 minutes?
Right.
You know, if it's a zero-day attack, you're 25 hours too late. I mean, zero-day attacks, that was 10 years ago, wasn't mm-hmm. it?
Absolutely. And you look at what people are doing. And this was proved out in the survey as well as the panel discussion as when people fall back on what they know, that determines how their spend is occurring from a budget perspective. And what we saw is that 53% of them are still spending money on network defenses, and 46% are using things such as analysis and correlation tools to help with data breaches. Knowing and blocking are not going to help defend the target.
Let's take a break and come back. We'll talk more about the survey regarding cybersecurity for our federal audience. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Wayne Lewandowski, Vice President, U.S. Federal Sales at Vormetric. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Wayne Lewandowski. He's the Vice President, U.S. Federal Sales and Special Programs with Vormetric, V as in victory, V-O-R-M-E-T-R-I-C. Well, Wayne, you've been around. You've learned a whole lot about encryption, been in a lot of different agencies talking to folks. So what kind of stuff do you read? Were there blogs or articles or magazines? How do you keep up on top of this field?
A couple things. Most of the reading I do is online, John. It would be anywhere between the federal trade pubs that come out. I read quite a bit in different security forums on LinkedIn. And then I would say beyond reading, it's also interacting with our customer base and potential customer base, not only at Vormetric events, but adjacent security technologies. So other folks that might be in the security stack, I attend their conferences and listen to how our constituents are addressing some of these issues that our customers face.
Well, you've been in the business for 25 years. I remember about 10, 15 years ago, I had to take all those silly cyber tests and learn about security. And, I don't know if you remember this, but you used to talk about encryption is like an M&M. It's hard on the outside and soft on the inside. I thought that was so silly back then. But it's changed so much. It's like if the bad guy is in the system, well, this whole M&M analogy is blended with the chocolate. Now it's already. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So the perimeter may not be the best. I mean, if you're going to budget a certain amount of money for a problem, do you want to budget for the perimeter or for defenses inside the perimeter? That's the question I think people are asking.
Absolutely. And I think we're starting to see that shift. And we proved some of that out in our respondents' results as well, is there is an increasing budgetary movement towards data at rest solutions. But I think what folks need to understand too, and there was a lot of press around this specifically around the OPM breach, is there were some articles that talked about the problem and then addressed it with, that's why you need to encrypt everything. Where other folks were on the other side of that conversation saying it's not really about encryption. And I think they're both right. It's a combination of providing an intelligent set of controls that have protection reinforced with encryption. And this is really the key, is this evolution of, it's not just encryption, it's having those access controls as well.
Right. It's part of the puzzle. Now, it's an important part of the puzzle, but sitting alone, it's not going to be effective. I guess it's back to tactics and strategy. That has to be a strategic part of a whole environment for
Absolutely.
Protecting data. One of the results of the study, they talked about the shortage of skilled people.
Mm-hmm.
Budgets, I don't know much about, but I tell you one thing, any of my students who have a focus on cybersecurity, they can get jobs in a flash. Cybersecurity classes at Georgetown fill up the first day. So how do you find good people? I mean, is that true? Is it really tough to find skilled people? Or are they just, easy to find? They want too much money? They don't stay? Or how do you find good people?
Boy, that is an important question. It's a challenge. I would tell you from across the company, sales to support, engineering, it's very difficult, especially in organizations such as ours that are growing at such a significant rate. Our biggest challenge on a quarterly basis is addressing open headcount, and it is difficult. Part of it is, as the market matures, you get skill sets that are more readily available, and we're starting to see that. There's quite a few companies that are in the cyberspace, but they're all fitting different needs. It's very difficult for us to find folks that have encryption technology experience or enterprise key management. That's a huge challenge.
Yeah, it's usually math backgrounds, what I think. I think that's a strong background to have,
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's really good. Let's bounce back to the survey and talk about some of the findings here. They talked about cyber criminals were the top external threat. I keep thinking of Snowden. Is he insider or outsider, or is it a hacker from Russia trying to get in? So who's the bad guy here? Is it outsiders, insiders, or who's the top threat? Is it cyber criminals the big threat or insiders?
That was a funny result, that what they perceived as the problem, because if you look at the actual breach results, the stats show that the true insider threat is the issue, because there is no such thing as an external threat. because no one announces themselves as a third party when they're stealing your data. They are a trusted user from a credentialing perspective. And this statistically is the highest concern. So insider threat from a privileged account in particular becomes the most ominous of all sets of credentials to be concerned around. Root, sysadmin.
What is the motivator for a federal cybersecurity professional to look at the budget and take a look at focusing on data at rest? Does some bad thing have to happen, or is it just it's the time of year, or is it to comply with some new federal regulations? What is the motivator you find?
I think first and foremost, the initial motivator is compliance. How do we get compliant in the environment? And this is where I think we get into a little bit of a sticky situation from a contracting perspective, because you have folks that say we need to protect the data. And what we're going to do is we're going to encrypt it. So as we go out to the cloud or even in our own data center or out to the tactical edge, encryption becomes a requirement. What happens is you now have encryption as a requirement, but to check that box, it could be as simple as providing full disk encryption. This isn't going to cut it, John. Full disk encryption, as an example, is for physical theft. And I don't know about you, but I've yet to read an article in the last couple of years where we had an exploit that involved Thermite exploding the side of a data center wall and then using a Hummer to drag a SAN array out the side door.
That'd be front page news.
Right.
Now, although years ago, I do remember 4 or 5 years ago, federal officials would leave notebook computers in taxis, and I haven't heard those stories since. I mean, it's like right. It was a lot of stuff. And then guess what? Do a Google search on that. It's all 4 or 5 year old stuff. So
absolutely.
I think they've learned some lesson about encrypting hard drives.
They have, but I would tell you on that specifically, John, there's a good example where encryption is the answer because physical theft is the issue. The adversary that most people are concerned with and the exploits that get the most press are not the ones that involve a laptop or an endpoint. It involves the large sets of data, that data at rest that's sitting in the enterprise, in the cloud or the data center. What you have here is a bad actor that might be sitting in a foreign country or in our country that exfiltrates the perimeter, elevates privilege to one of these roles that has full access. That's what we need to protect against.
Well, here we are, spring 2016, the middle of a big presidential campaign. All these people are trying to say, I'm different from this person, I'm different from that person. They're called differentiators. So how does Vormetric differentiate itself from other solutions or other offerings?
Sure, John. There's a couple things. First of all, probably our biggest competitors are things such as the point solutions that I just mentioned, full disk encryption. It's a silo of capability that Vormetric offers. It's just really a feature set, if you will. And we see the same thing true across the environment. This goes to that issue around complexity. If you try to piecemeal the answer to the problem of protecting data, folks will look at doing this across an application, maybe a particular environment, something for the cloud, something different for the data center. So one of the really foundations of the Vormetric solution is that it's a platform that addresses the entire enterprise. We're going to provide encryption, key management, and policy-based controls that drive how users can or cannot access data at rest, irrespective of what type of data it is and where it might be. And in the case of our customer base, that could be in a data center, in the cloud, a combination of both in a hybrid environment, or out to the tactical edge where you have servers and things of that nature that are deployed on into the field.
Yeah, I don't want to use a military analogy again, but strategy and tactics. It's not just encrypting the hard disk and make sure nothing happens to it, but that may be part of the strategy, and it's got to incorporate many things besides just that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have to take a break here in a couple of minutes. I just have another quick minute. Give me an example of maybe an agency that's deployed your solutions, had some success with it, or you don't have to name an agency, just say, you know, agency A did this.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you that probably the overwhelming use case that has started, regardless of what area the federal government works with us, is around PII, personally identifiable information. So think HR data. That could be contractor information. It could be personnel that are government employees and the such. This is this kind of stuff that gets in the news. I think VA is an example, right? They've had multiple breaches around personnel data, OPM being another very highly publicized breach. This is the data that most people are driven to protect as the first area that they initiate our solution in.
That's good to know. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about data encryption. We have a survey to review and maybe talk about where people can get more information from your website about maybe downloading this this information. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Wayne Lewandowski, Vice President, U.S. Federal Sales and Special Programs, Vormetric. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Wayne Lewandowski, Vice President, U.S. Federal Sales and Special Programs, Vormetric, V-O-R-M-E-T-R-I-C. Hey, Wayne, we've been talking about this little survey. So where can my listeners get this survey?
John, our listeners can get the survey at our website, vormetric.com. That's V-O-R-M-E-T-R-I-C.
That sounds pretty good. A lot of people follow me on Twitter. I do a lot of Twitter stuff. My Twitter handle, believe it or not, is at Ray Gilray. Doesn't make any sense. What's the Twitter handle for your company? Let's hope it's more logical.
It is. No surprise. At Vormetric, V-O-R-M-E-T-R-I-C.
Well, that sounds good. Hey, you should do these radio commercials. That's not a bad voice there. Finally, after 45 minutes, we hear your radio voice coming out. Sunshine, the nation's capital, Wayne's radio voice emerges. Wow, that's great. You know, I go to a lot of events and I talk to people and they go, hey, I heard that interview with Wayne. And I, you know, they can talk about encryption. They can talk about data at rest. They can talk about NIST standards. No, what kind of phone does he have? That's the most important question that people want to know. He's involved in security. He must have a safe phone. And so I've come up, put together a scientific 10-question test that's going to find out if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd or not, or if you know anything about this technology. So first question is, do you have an Instagram account?
I do not.
The bonus question would be who owns Instagram, but we can't even go that down. Number of cell phones you have purchased for yourself in the last 12 months.
Well, I would say for myself, one, but on my plan, five.
No, you see, just you. You see, a real nerd would get every 6 weeks, got to get the latest and greatest of everything. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, at Wayne42675.
Okay. And have you ever used Blab, B-L-A-B?
I have not.
Yeah, you see, he's not up there. He's not a nerd. He's not a nerd. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an Android.
Security guy, Android. That's interesting. What's the most popular app on that phone the last 30 days?
I think the one that gets the most time on it is LinkedIn.
Isn't that interesting? And we break into your house tonight. How many tablets do we see floating around there?
Two.
You got to bump that up, buddy. You really got to bump that up. When was your most recent post in a social networking site?
A couple days ago, and it was promoting the announcement of our acquisition from Taos.
Well, that's okay. That's tolerable. And look, when does your Apple Watch due? Is it next week, or when's it due?
Never.
You're not going to get an Apple Watch? Oh, you're not stylish. You're not with it.
I am not.
And finally, the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Always electronic.
Always electronic. Well, that's good. I know, kind of interesting. It's I hate to say it, but you're more close to normal than to nerd. But you got to work on some of your nerdology. You know? Blab's important. Instagram's owned by Facebook, by the way. That's what people don't realize. You know, I have guests in here all the time. I've been doing the show for 9.5 years. And 9.5 years ago, I asked people to project something. No one projected mobile. No one forecast, video. No, believe me, 9 years ago, no one thought to be walking down the street, tapping in Vormetric and watching a video about Wayne and talking about encryption while they're waiting for the metro. No one even dreamed of that. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen, but I'm going to ask you to predict. So okay. Tell me, what's going to happen 4 or 5 years from now? What's going to happen with your company? What about, is it going to be standard operating procedure to have it encrypted, or is it going to be still gaps and problems? What do you think encryption is handling, and where's your company headed?
That's a great question. And I think what we're seeing is a significant velocity towards this being adopted as a core part of either commercial or federal market customer. I mean, folks realize that they do need to encrypt their critical assets, and it's becoming a reality that this is something that is not only practical to do, and as we talked about, the complexity is not quite as difficult as people think it might be. And it's very strategic. Knowing that your environment, it has a certain amount of elasticity to it, meaning you've got IoT, you have cloud, you have data centers, you have mobile data in forward deployed situations in our customer base. All these things come together, and people realizing that their core requirements aren't managing the infrastructure. It's making sure they're protecting the assets that run their organization. So that becomes the critical play. That is well suited for Vormetric because that's what we do. The combination of both Talos as well as Vormetric, provide a broad portfolio of technologies and capability that allow the enterprise to ensure that that data, that critical infrastructure, is not compromised and surrendered to the bad guys.
And because I'm a radio guy, I got to spell that. It's T-H-A-L-E-S for Thales. Is that right?
That is correct.
So if you're listening to this and you want to Google that in and look about the company, T-H-A-L-E-S. You know, a couple weeks back, we had Mach 37 in their incubator out in Herndon. And what they do is they bring together young people who have ideas for companies. They fund these companies, and they let them off. And had three of them in the studio. We talked about three different capabilities. And let me tell you something. This whole idea of managing keys, this is hot. This isn't some, you know, back rooms, a little nerd in the middle of nowhere the Pentagon's worrying about. This is becoming more and more front burner. It's becoming, you know, almost, it's becoming a very popular topic. I mean, because encryption, key management, this is crucial, isn't it?
It certainly is. But I think that goes back to the example that I gave earlier about full disk encryption. Key management's important because it is going to create a separation between the administrator, so as an example, maybe an application or the storage itself, and be able to create that centralized control of that key to authorize it to be applied so data can be accessed. But it's more than that. You have to look at the environment itself and ensure that you have policy controls that segregate what a user can do, when it can be done, and what actions can be applied. Most importantly, take away certain threat vectors that are in the environment. I alluded to some of the other reports that are out there that talk about the stats of data breaches. The number one issue is privileged users. So having a sysadmin or a root level user and having the ability to blind them from accessing that data, but still being able to do their job is critically important. And that's where Vormetric really can be bound into the environment and become a strategic solution.
I think the concept of key management is important there, is that who has the keys? Is it the system administrator or is it the person who is responsible for that data? I mean, I think this is, you know, I think what some people say is that, well, you can't outsource responsibility. So in the end, the person listening to this show who's got the title of CISO at an agency, you know, they're going to get fired if bad things happen. It's not the system administrator. So
Absolutely. You
can't outsource that. You have to be responsible for that. And so you have to look critically at all options and consider them seriously and wonder, well, this has strong encryption, but it's kind of awkward and a pain. I remember years ago, before the web was just the old internet, you'd FTP on a keyboard. You'd FTP and have a specific file. It was terrible. I hated it. Now people are transferring. Years ago it was difficult. And years ago, encryption was a pain too. I can remember all these numbers and this and that. I have to write this down. And I stopped doing it because it's too difficult. If it's too difficult, no one's going to do it.
Absolutely. I agree. And minimizing that complexity is critical. And also ownership of those keys. John, you bring up such a key point there, is that when you look at the infrastructure being surrendered, take the cloud as an example, to also surrender the control of that data to the infrastructure is really a failed plan. And I think most of our customers are coming to that realization that if I go to name your favorite cloud provider, that's great. What I need to control is the access to the data. So data owner controls data access always.
Yeah, do you want a cloud provider to be the keeper of the keys?
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. It's not going to happen with some intelligence agencies, but what if you work for commerce? What if you work for transportation? You may have some information that's fairly sensitive. You have to put this in the mix and try to figure out how much of your time, how much of your budget you're going to allocate for all this.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to make a statement, and you can throw the chair at me or yell or scream or agree or disagree. Here's a statement from the survey. 60% of the people in the survey believe network defenses are very effective at safeguarding data. Two-thirds. High, low, what do you think?
It surprises me that respondents would see network security as a defense against data breaches, because I think the statistics on breaches themselves prove that out. The government's not doing anything different from a network perimeter protection perspective than what our commercial counterparts are doing. Yet, breaches continue to occur. You have to take the protection to the target. In this case, the data itself.
There's an endpoint, analysis, data in motion, network, and data at rest. This is where the gold is. You know, one guy told me, you know what the golden rule is? He who has the gold rules.
That's right.
And the gold is the data right there. And this can be all kinds of, from healthcare information to medical records, all kinds of information. And that's, you know, I think having a hard shell is fine. I think, you know, having good firewall is fine, and brush your teeth and eat vegetables, but, you know, have a safe in your house and it's fireproof. I mean, that's where it's at.
Absolutely. And that's a good analogy. If you use that as an example, in a home, just because I lock my windows and doors does not mean that I don't have my critical assets in a safe. Yeah, and we become the safe.
Some in the safe and some in a little maybe safety deposit box at a bank, but everyone has different strategies for that. Well, I'd like to thank you for sitting for an interview. We talked about database security and about cryptography and managing keys, and the company he works for is called Vormetric. I'd like to thank my guest in the studio today, Wayne Lewandowski, Vice President, U.S. Federal Sales and Special Programs, Vormetric. Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.